He has called you to preserve this society. He has called you to illuminate this society through visible demonstrations of good work.
So how do you differentiate yourself as a business that is operated for kingdom-oriented goals from one that isn't? How will your business actively engage in KPIs with eternal consequence? You know, those kingdom performance indicators, which may reflect the same work effort, but be transformative due to your motivation, your company's why. On this Pathway to Purpose episode, Tony Evans explains how all the good works that God has called us to do are outlined in Scripture and provide us with the transformational purpose that we are seeking as we make much of God, bringing Him glory through our businesses. As Tony reminds us, our business should make people take our God much more seriously because of how we serve them and deliver excellence within our society.
In business, God wants you to do good works so that they see not only the product, but they see the methodology, the quality, the depth, the commitment, the presence of God through the process. That's what we need today in this earth that needs salt and world that needs light. We need men to see good works. Righteous goals reached by righteous methods done by righteous people. That's what distinguishes you. That's what makes you different than the business down the street that does the same thing you do. You're a righteous leader, and you have righteous processes, and you come out with a righteous outcome in a secular society. You are the light of the world, so that men will see your good works. I'm involved, a large part of my ministry is involved in reconciliation, racial reconciliation, and urban ministry. One of the things we do is work with the judges to deal with young people who are on their way down the wrong road. We had a young kid who stole $1,500 from his employer. They caught him, and they were going to sentence him to 3 years in jail for stealing $1,500. Now, there's a big problem with that, because while he was wrong for stealing $1,500, when they sentenced him to jail, it was going to cost the taxpayers $20,000 a year to house him for stealing $15,000. So that's from an economic standpoint, that's not great business. $60,000 for stealing $1,500. Then they were going to put him in an environment where he's going to learn how to become a better criminal. Plus, the guy he stole from doesn't get his money back. So we went down to the judge and we said, "Now, Your Honor, we have a suggestion. If you will relinquish the kid to us, give the kid back to us, here's what we will do. We will give this fatherless kid a male mentor and hold him accountable and responsible. We will then get him a job and then garnish his wages and pay back the guy he stole from with interest. We will give him a moral code of ethics that he will learn and function on in an environment of responsibility. We will save the taxpayers, if this works, $60,000, and we'll bring you a brand new kid back in 6 months. We did all of that. Kid was turned around, took him back. Progress was clear. It was changed to probation. The judge called me up a few weeks later and said, "Will you take 20 more? Now, that wasn't some unique concept I came out with. That comes right out of the Bible. And the principle is restitution. Because all the good works, the principles for all the good works God has called you to do are in the Scripture. How to handle welfare, how to handle charity, how to handle crime, all of that's in Scripture. Because God not only gives the means, he gives the processes. At least in principle form, for you to conduct your business in a way that benefits people and that does something else as he closes here. He says in verse 16, and that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Glorify your Father. It's interesting, he doesn't say glorify their Father, he says glorify your Father. Because remember, you're salt of the earth, made up of a lot of unrighteous people, and you're light of the world, made up of a lot of unrighteous people. But he says, when you are salt and light, and people see it, they will see your good works, and then they will talk about your Father. God has hit the front pages this week. He's headline news. He's getting a lot of attention right now. Because when things happen that are outside of man's ability to control or influence or understand, all of a sudden God becomes an important person on the cultural landscape. Non-Christians are helping out, they're doing good things. But Christians are helping out, they're doing good works. So that even non-Christians will have good things to say about your daddy. And a hearing for the gospel is opened up because of the good works. That they may glorify your Father. The word glory means to show off, put on display, highlight, or advertise. It's a great business word, glory. It means to put out an advertisement. A lot of you ladies understand glory because I'm sure you're a lot like my wife. I tell my wife we got to go somewhere at 7 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, she goeth before the mirror of her glory. And she starts taking out, you know, foundation and eye highlighter and eyeliner and curlers and rollers and a hot iron. And in 1 hour, it's transformed before my very eyes. So we're ready to go. We go to the car. The car's in the garage. So she doesn't go outside to mess up her glory. She goes right there in the car, sits on the passenger side, but I don't understand it. She's just come out of the mirror in the bedroom. She comes to the car, pulls down the visor to check on her glory. We finally go to the place we're going. If there's a building with an elevator, we get in the elevator. Lord have mercy if there's a mirror in that elevator, because she's going to re-examine her glory. Then we get to the floor we're going on. She comes outside, runs into some of her girlfriends. First place they got to go is to the powder room so they can discuss each other's glory. Well, men, if your wife is like that, don't let that bother you. Because the Bible says the woman is the glory of the man, so glorify me, baby. Make me look good. That's okay with me. But the word glory means to show off, to advertise, to put on display, to highlight, to embellish. Our job is to put makeup on God so that the invisible God becomes visible through the good works that we do, and he looks good. Your job is to put makeup on God through the good works, the good opportunities that God has granted you, the opportunities to serve somebody else, to put some makeup on God so that through the conduit of that good work, your Father gets recognized. Your Father gets glorified. Your Father is taken just a bit more seriously in a secular society. In fact, that's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Our Father who art in heaven, Daddy, I know where you live. And because I know who you are, my Father, where you live in heaven, I'm going to humble myself and hallow, set apart, sanctify your name. As I go about my business duties, God, because I know who you are, you're my daddy, where you live in heaven, you're in charge, and how I'm supposed to be in light of that, humbly hallowing your name, thy not my kingdom come. Thy not my will be done. Because I know your person, I want to adjust to your program. Now, in order to hallow your name and service your kingdom and do your will, here's what I need you to do for me. I need you to provide me the necessary resource base so that I can pull off the necessary productivity so that I'm in a position to hallow your name, service your kingdom, and do your will. So if you don't mind, Heavenly Father, give me the daily bread I need to pull this off. And then I want you to forgive me for the things I've done against you as I forgive those who've done things against me, because if I don't deal with the debts that I owe you, because I'm not dealing with the debts that other people owe me, then you are not accepting me, hallowing your name, servicing your kingdom, or doing your will. Now, as I go out to do business today, don't lead me into any situation I can't handle. Don't allow me to get caught up in any deal that I ought not make. Don't allow me to get situated in any kind of circumstance I am not ready for, because if you allow me to get in a situation I can't handle, then I will wind up embarrassing your name, embarrassing your kingdom, and embarrassing your will. Now, God, the only reason I am praying any of this in the first place is because none of this has to do with me. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, it's about him. It is for his glory and his name and his kingdom. Your job in the marketplace of the earth and the world, this decaying piece of meat and this dark society, is to not extricate yourself and huddle in some foreign area, get your little paycheck, pay your employees, and go home. God has called you to something greater than that. He has called you to preserve this society. He has called you to illuminate the society through visible demonstrations of good work, that we might preserve it from the just wrath of God. I told the guys a promise keepers. My favorite program growing up was Superman. I loved Superman growing up as a kid. Criminals in Metropolis would come out and create havoc, causing great confusion in the society. Now, as Clark Kent, he was not taken seriously. Lois Lane didn't like him. Perry White would often not even use him. Jimmy Olsen would make fun of him. But don't let him find a telephone booth. The criminals in Metropolis would come out and start deteriorating the environment. The word would go out, "Where's Superman?" I'd be sitting on the floor next to my brother. Superman's cosmic ears would hear the cry. He'd take off his glasses and unhook his tie. I'd look over to my brother and say, "There he go." Clark Kent would go inside some little small area, a closet or a telephone booth or something, lickety split, change clothes, come out with a red and blue jumpsuit on with a cape. Big S on his chest. This ordinary man was now faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. This guy could now leap tall buildings in a single bound. He goes streaking across the sky and they say, "It's a bird." No. "It's a plane." Uh-uh. "It's Superman." This dude would be catching bullets and crushing, breaking knives and crushing guns and discarding criminals, and he would change the topography of the environment due to his presence. His presence changed Metropolis from a deteriorating place because the evil had showed up to a calm place, a place where people now wanted to raise their families. People now wanted to do business. Government officials were safe. He turned it into a environment that was conducive to life's well-being. How could this man pull this off? Simple. He wasn't from here. He was from a place called Krypton, a long way away. But what he did was he took what was up there and brought it down here. He took who he was in his ultimate identity and lived it out down here when he changed clothes. When you leave this conference, I hope you change clothes. I hope you take off secular way of thinking, secular way of operating, secular way of doing business, and that you go visit God as our brother Henry said, and process what God wants to do through you and your business, and that you change clothes and that you re-emerge into wherever God is taking you back to with this new set of clothes and an S on your chest. Now that S doesn't mean you're Superman, but it ought to mean you saved. That S doesn't mean you're Superman, but it ought to mean you ought to look like a saint. That S doesn't mean you're Superman, but it ought to mean that you are living a sanctified life and running a sanctified business, so that when people see you, the people who work for you, and the product that you come out with, they say, it's a bird, no. It's a plane, no. It's them super saints from that FCCI conference. That's who they are.
Well, thank you, Tony, for that incredible reminder that God has called us not to extricate ourselves and our businesses from society, but rather to preserve and transform society through our involvement, to be salt and light. And let me invite you, our listener, to the annual FCCI conference that will take place September 15th through 18th this year in Lake Tahoe, as we dig into our theme of advancing the kingdom through business, being salt and light, pursuing these outcomes that Tony has reminded us of again in this podcast episode. We do hope that you can join with the hundreds of other business owners and leaders who will take part in this year's conference experience. You can learn more and register at conference.fcci.org. Thanks again for listening, and may God encourage your journey as you lead a company for Christ.